10.
All right, that's good.
No, 8, we let you know, and then it finishes at 10.
All right, okay. Well, I've got a little image for you to have a look at.
Oh.
Right. Okay. I would have it on the projector, but we're looking at the text.
Yeah.
So we all know this, don't we? It's his master's voice, the HMV old logo. Well, I'm going to be looking tonight at two forms of service. And in the two forms of service, I've got to get this up. We have, that's thrown me already. Because I just wanted to have the notes in front of me. Two forms of service. I'm going to give an illustration from the Old Testament. I'm going to speak very briefly about Moses. Moses brought God's people out of Egypt, and they're wandering through the desert, and they start moaning at him. And they say, you know, we've got no water. We've run out of water. Our water bottles are empty. We've got nothing to feed. We've got nothing to give the animals for drink. We've got nothing for ourselves and our children and our wives. So they started chiding Moses. Moses approached God and said, you know, this is the situation. What do I do? God said to him, take your staff. You see that rock over there? You gather the assembly around that rock. And you strike that rock with your staff. Boom! So Moses, he gathers the assembly. And then he strikes the rock with his staff. And the rock splits open and water gushes out. Now this is a desert, don't forget. You know, this is the Sinai. You know, you'd think that the water would evaporate. You'd think that it would all get swallowed up in the sand. But there's so much water coming out that soon there's an oasis. You know, there's a huge body of water. So they can they drink as much as they want. They get their animals down, and what they do is they fill up their water bottles. Everything's hunky dory, you think, right? Then later on, much later on, because God made them stay in the desert for 40 years because they did not trust Him.
Disobeyed.
Right? They disobeyed Him. Moses sent out 12 spies. And only two came back with a good report about the land of Canaan. And because they went out for 40 days, God said, as a punishment, you stay in the desert, in the wilderness, for 40 years. So later on, what we find is that the people do the same thing. They chide Moses and say, we've run out of water. What are we going to do? Again, Moses goes to the tabernacle now, because that's been built. And he seeks God's face. And God tells him, as before, take Aaron with you, take your staff, and speak to the rock, and it will bring forth water. So what does Moses do? He finds the rock, he gathers the assembly around, they're all gathered around, and then he goes, rather irritatedly, I suppose, you know, what do you expect of us? You want us to get water from this rock? And he strikes it twice with his staff. I was going to say cudgel. Strikes it twice with his staff. And water gushes out. But God is very angry with him. God is very angry with him. Because what did God say to him? He said, speak to the rock. And yet in his resentment and his frustration and his anger, he strikes the rock not once, but twice. Now I want to bring this picture into relation of Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, when we talk about Martha and Mary. First of all, we see in verse 38 that Martha invites Jesus into her home. She invites him in to his, into her heart. I mean, are we aware that at this stage of Christ's ministry, that there were people speaking against him? Friends were becoming fewer and further between. And yet Martha loves Jesus. She brings him into her home. But Jesus doesn't come alone. He has an entourage. He comes with his disciples, and it's not just 12. It's not just 12 disciples that are with him. They were the inner circle. We don't know how many were there, but it must have been more than the 13 of them. But Martha, in her devotion and her love for the Lord Jesus Christ, she wants to produce a sumptuous meal because she loves him. He has deigned to come to her house. He has shown her his love, first and foremost, by coming to her village, not staying in Jerusalem, where there's plenty of, you know, large houses and plenty of wealthy people. No, he goes to a small village of Bethany. And in his love for Martha, he comes to her village, to her house, and she invites him. Now, as soon as he enters, what does he do? He sits down and he starts teaching. He starts teaching Mary, never knowing if she, when she's going to get this opportunity again, sits immediately at his feet, listening, attentive, mindful of the words, these pearls coming out from the Lord's mouth. Martha, she loves Jesus. We've already established that. She loves him that she wants to produce a sumptuous meal. She loves him, but she only catches a word here or there. She catches a word here or there. In the end, she becomes quite resentful. What does she do? She comes to Jesus and she says, "Do you not care that I'm doing all the work and Mary's not helping me? Make her help me." Jesus, in his compassion and love, says, "Martha, Martha, let me implore you. You're troubled by all these things. You're troubled with this. And your sister Mary has chosen the better way, the best path. She's listening to me because she doesn't know when she's going to get this opportunity again." My brothers and sisters, when Jesus is with us, do we take the care to listen? Or do we let resentments build up in our heart and block our ears when he speaks to us? Brothers and sisters, Jesus himself said that Mary chose the best path. Her devotion made her attentive. Moses, he got resentful. The water still came from the rock the second time, but he was punished. He did not see the promised land because he struck the rock. He did not listen to the Lord's instruction. He did not value the Lord's words at that time. And that small one mistake cost him so dearly. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you the question. Who's doing the work? Is it God and his Holy Spirit, or is it us? Brothers and sisters, let us hold on to Jesus and hold on to his words when he speaks. Thank you.
Okay. Let's take a